Interestingly, we now know through experiments that musicians and creative artists and other people whose livelihoods depend on creativity in some way generally do a lot better in these laboratory tests than people who are not particularly creative. And there's some speculation that musicians in particular, and especially stringed instrument musicians, if they start young and they practice for years as a youth, their brain becomes different. Because if you think about, especially a violin, where there's no frets on the keyboard or on the fingerboard, you have to learn to do very fine motor control movements in your left hand. You're holding the bow and doing different movements in your right hand with the bow, and you have to listen very carefully in order to get the intonation right. So your brain is being forced to do an enormous amount of work that is partially the left brain and partially the right brain. And it trains the brain to become extremely good at talking, at the two hemispheres to talk to each other. And so we're beginning to think that what used to be called right-brained awareness is more sensitive to psychic impressions. So if you have a good communication channel open between the two halves of your brain, it's as though information comes in through the right brain, and it can make an easy channel to the left, which is where language and your ability to articulate comes from.
I've always believed that people who are a little more creative have that ability. And do you find, Dean, that these people who have been practicing this over time get better and better and better at this?
I would say they get a little bit better, but the best analogy I can think of is sports talent. So if you get somebody who is very good at basketball or baseball or whatever, they will plateau fairly quickly at a very high level. And that level is much, much higher than a person who's not talented. But to get beyond that plateau is extremely difficult. So, I mean, take as an example someone like Tiger Woods, who was clearly naturally very talented, but also practices like mad all the time to maintain that high plateau. So one would think that if practice can keep making you better, then he would get better and better and better. But the fact is that we all plateau at some point.
And sometimes he has a lousy game.
And sometimes he has a lousy game, just like a real psychic. Real psychics can sometimes get the hole in one, but not always.
Premonition. Let's talk about the various aspects of this, if we can. There are some people who have had these incredible premonitions of events, call them earthquakes, 9/11. I know my daughter had a very strange dream a couple days before that. Unfortunately, nobody in the family could understand what she was talking about, nor could she. But after the fact, we all realized that there was something there. A lot of people have had these. But a lot of people, Dean, don't know what they are. They don't react to them.
Mm-hmm.
They come in, they come out, and then after the event occurs, they go, oh my, it was that.
Right.
Why is that? Why can't they grasp onto this before it happens?
Well, I think part of the reason is that for negative events, which is what we usually respond to, we respond more to negative
mm-hmm.
things rather than positive things, which is why the news is the way that it is. Nobody wants to walk around with visions of nasty things in their heads, so we tend to repress it. I mean, it's a natural psychological response to, I'm getting bad feelings about stuff, and I don't want bad feelings in my head, so I literally repress it, and I become no longer aware of it. That's one of the reasons why I think we don't see this. The other reason is that that people will sometimes get a negative impression about something, and then they're afraid to tell anybody. Because, you know, who wants to be the Chicken Little and say about things that are coming up? There's no one to tell, or except maybe for a few family members.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody knows if it's true or not. So that actually leads me to one of the projects they have in mind, which is to have an internet site which will allow people who have these experiences, whether they're awake or in dreams, to register it. And then we can tell it by looking at thousands or tens of thousands of people and analyzing the effects over time. Maybe people do not get the actual content in a dream, but it may be that before unusual events, perhaps the quality of the dream will change.
What a great idea. And that could be instant, too. They can just immediately wake up, go to the site.
Right.
We might be able to broadcast. Is this website something that's up and running now?
It's running in my head.
Ah.
It's on the drawing board, and I have a pretty good sense of what I'm going to do, but it's not active yet.
As soon as you get the domain name, Dean, let us know, and we'll get it out.
I will.
I mean, that could be exciting.
Yeah, and it's, in a sense, it's the human version of our Global Consciousness Project. It's using humans as detectors rather than random number generators. And I expect, this is the reason why I want to do this, I expect that as a detection network, it'll be much more sensitive than our random numbers.
What is this that we call our gut feeling? And, you know, that to me, it's a physical thing, but it's tied into a mental ability as well, isn't it?
Well, what it is literally visceral sensations in your gut. Some people will feel they're churning in their gut. They'll feel movement. They may feel a twinge of nausea, something of that sort. That's what gut feelings are. And typically it has no cognitive content to it. It's not a gut feeling about something. It's simply a gut feeling. So people can learn, I think, to associate the gut feelings with either fleeting thoughts that they've had, typically involving something to do with a decision. There's a decision coming up and they get a gut feeling about it. We tested this in the laboratory to see whether it might have a psychic component to it, and I devote a small chapter in the book to the results of the experiment, the bottom line of which was the gut does seem to respond to distant thoughts.
Does that tell you that it's something within the human body that kicks in beyond the mind, or is it merely just something that the brain creates?
There are those who now believe that the brain is not the only source of perception in the body, that the heart may be a perceptive organ as well as the body, and the gut too. I mean, the gut is particularly interesting because it has next to the brain not only the same kind of neurons as the brain has, but it has the second highest density of those neurons anywhere in the body. So the gut is sometimes called the second brain because it has all of the capacity to do what we do up in our head, except it's in the gut.